All right, Jamal Sai. Good morning. Thank you, though. All right. So today's daf is Lamed Dalet. A lot to do today. So we left off, if you remember again, three lines up from the bottom, last word on the line, Lamed Gimel on the base. So if you remember again, thank you. If you remember again, so we were discussing over here the very interesting brisa about how we know, we spoke about how we know about the various kolos that we have, and specifically what we highlighted yesterday was the fundamental machlokas about the definition of teruah. So remember again, we saw two different opinions. One said genuchei ganach, one said yilulei yodil. That was the definition of teruah. So genuchei ganach was what we call a shvarim, more like a moaning, versus yilulei yodil, which is what we call a teruah, a little bit more like a sobbing. So now the Gemara is going through all of the different aspects of tekiah shofar, trying to figure out how we know them. So the Gemara says, how do I know that we have to go ahead and blow a tekiah before every single teruah? Talmud lomar v'ha'avarta shofar teruah. So the Torah used lashon of v'ha'avarta. So literally we translate v'ha'avarta as you shall sound. But ultimately again the lashon of v'ha'avarta avar indicates to us a straight blast. How do I know that I blow a tekiah after every teruah? Talmud lomar ta'aviru shofar. Because Torah used that same lashon of ha'avara, which we normally translate as you shall sound, but again, lashon avar indicates a straight blast. Mainly ela biyovel. I only know this to be true in the ovel. But Rosh Hashanah minai, how do I know that this is true about Rosh Hashanah? Talmud lomar b'chodesh hashvi. Because again, remember the pasuk in Yovel indicates again that it takes place in the seventh month. And Rabbi Yosef, remember, we don't need the Torah to indicate to us that Yovel takes place in the seventh month, because we know the Torah tells us that everything occurs on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, which obviously is in the seventh month of Tishrei. So why does the Torah have to explicitly state seventh month? Top of Lamed Dalet. She'en tam lor b'chodesh hashvi. Torah didn't have to say in the seventh month. So why does the Torah mention the seventh month? To teach us that all of the shofar blasts of the seventh month shall all be alike. And Yavos said, therefore, to teach us what? That the shofar blasts of Rosh Hashanah are comparable to the shofar blasts of Yovel. So the Gemara goes right there. And how do we know that you have to blow three sets of three blasts each, because remember, again, we saw in the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, that the basic definition of mitzvah shofar is tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. So how do I know that it's three sets of three blasts each? Talmud lomar, v'ha'avarta shofar teruah, shabbos on zichron teruah, yom teruah yelachem. Why Rabbi Yosef? Because the Gemara essentially says that the Torah says teruah three times. Remember, we've also established now that what? That every time it says teruah, we know that a teruah always has a pshuta lefanel, a pshuta lacharet. It always has a straight sound before it, meaning a tekiah, and a straight sound after it. So Lamais again, now it says teruah three times. Every teruah has a tekiah before and after. Boom, there you have your three sets of three sounds each. Uminayim litenes ha'amor shel zeh shbezeh. And how do I know that the halachos concerning the tekiyos of the Yovel apply to Rosh Hashanah, and the halachos concerning Rosh Hashanah apply to the Yovel? Talmud lomar, shvi'i shvi'i l'gzera shava. Therefore, I both say, because the Torah's deposit, the Gemara says, that we have gzera shava. It says, shvi'i b'yovel. It says, meaning the chodesh hashvi'i, the seventh month b'yovel, seventh month by Rosh Hashanah, to create a gzera shava, a halachic bridge between these two concepts, to teach us that all that applies by one applies to the other. Hakeit, so that's shalosh shehin tisha. So Gemara says hakeit sod shalosh. What's the? Okay, fine. Lixir shava. Fine. Stop there. Hakeit sod shalosh shehin tisha. Okay, so Gemara says, how does this play out? Shalosh shehin tisha. Both cases, both Rosh Hashanah as well as Yovel, have three units of sound. Three units that essentially translate into nine units of sound. Remember again, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Each of those is a sound. Translates into nine different sounds. Shir tekiah kitruah. The shir of a tekiah is like a truah. Shir teruah kishlosha shivarim. And the shir of a truah is like three shvarim. So we'll say, so the Gemara says the following. So now, pause. Haytana meikara maisila behekesha, vahashta maisila begzera shava. I will say, now what's interesting is the following. So originally we said, that we learned this out as a hekesh, and now we're changing it to a gzera shava. What does that mean? Here's what everybody agrees on. The halachos concerning tikiyah shofar by Rosh Hashanah are actually coming from Yovel. That's what we know. The question is, how are we extrapolating them from Yovel? So originally what the Gemara suggested was what? That there's an extra chodesh hashvi'i, there's an extra statement of the seventh month by Yovel. So the Gemara says, oh, I don't need that by Yovel because I know Yovel's Yom Kippur. If I don't need chodesh hashvi'i by Yovel, then I'll use it for what? For Rosh Hashanah, to teach me that again, all of the shofaros that are sounded in the seventh month are all the same. Then the Gemara said, no, the way we learn out actually Rosh Hashanah from Yovel is how? A gzer shava. So the first approach is what's called the hekish, a comparison. It compares all of the shofar blowings in the seventh month to each other. The second approach ultimately is a gzer shava. And the gzer shava means, bless you, when you find the same word in two different contexts that allows you to go ahead and build a halachic bridge one to the other. So originally the Tana said we learned out Rosh Hashanah from Yovel through a gzer shava. Now you're telling me you learned it out from a hekish. So you'll say to yourself, who cares? What does it matter how we learn it out? So it matters a lot because those are different exegetical principles. And furthermore, again, a gzera shava, you can't really be mechadish. A gzera shava, you must have a mesora for. A hekish, Chazal have a little bit more room to create limudim from a hekish. So whether or not something's learned out from a hekish or gzera shava, it's not just simply academic, it's exceptionally important in the halachic process. So the Gemara says, Halchi Kamar, this is what we mean to say. Ilav Gezer Shava, were it not for the fact that there's a Gezer Shava, Maisila La Behekesha, I could have learned out this halacha that we learn out the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah from Yovel with a hekesh. But Hashta the Asya Gezer Shava, hekesh lo tzarech. But now that we have a Gezer Shava, and they have a mesora for this gzeir shava. So ultimately, again, the hekish becomes unnecessary. Okay. V'haytana maisila gzeir shava mibidbar. And I'll both say, now there's another opinion. So far, again, we have two different possibilities as to how we can learn out the different details of tkiyah shofar by Rosh Hashanah. We know that we're learning it out from Yovel. I can either learn it out as gzeir shava from Yovel, or if there wasn't the gzeir shava, I'd be able to learn it out from as a hekish from Yovel. Now the Gemara quotes another Tana, and this other Tana learns out the obligations of Tekiyah Shofar by Rosh Hashanah from the Midbar, from what happened in the desert. This Tanya, because the Pasuk says, Utikatem Teruah. Most of last week's Parsha. So the Torah says, you shall go ahead and you shall sound a Teruah. This is talking about when the camps were supposed to move. So the Gemara says, Tekiyah Bifnei Atzma, Utruah Bifnei Atzma. What do we see from here? Tikatem Teruah is often translated, says the Gemara, as you shall sound a Teruah. So Tikatem sounds like the verb, and Teruah ultimately, again, is the subject. I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to Tikatem Teruah. The Gemara understands, no, it's actually two different sounds. Utikatem Teruah, there's something called the Tekiyah, that's Bifnei Atzma. Utruah Bifnei Atzma. Ata Omer Tekiyah Bifnei Atzma, Utruah Bifnei Atzma, O Eino Ela Tekiyah Teruah Achas. Or maybe you'll say, no, it's not Tekiyah Bifnei Atzma and Teruah Tekiyah Bifnei Atzma, but rather what? Maybe Tekiyah and Teruah are the same sound. Maybe like we said before, Utekatem Teruah, Tekatem is not a different sound, but rather what is Tekatem? Tekatem is the verb to blow the sound. The Gemara says that can't be. Kishuhu Omer, Ubahakil Es Hakal Tisku'u Velotariu. But yeah, when the Pasuk says, when you gather the nation, Tisku'u, you will go ahead and blow a Tekiyah, Velotariu, and you will not blow the Teruah. What does that teach you? Havi Omer Tekiyah Bifnei Atzma, Teruah Bifnei Atzma. Rabbi, you know what that teaches me? That teaches me that indeed they are two different sounds. So Rabbi said, therefore, again, when it says Utikatem Teruah, the Torah is teaching me that what? The Torah is teaching that there are two different sounds, Tikatem and Teruah. Listen to this. Uminayin. So Rabbi said, so now watch this. So now we know that from the Midbar already, we know that there are two different sounds of a Tekiyah and a Teruah. Fine. How do I know? Uminayin Shepshut Alefaneha. I will say, how do I know that every single time they blew a teruah beforehand, you have to blow a tekiyah? Oh, tell me, what does the pasuk say? Utikatem teruah. I will say, what does tekatem teruah teach me? That first there's a tekiyah, and then what? And then there's a teruah. Uminayin shepshuta la'achareha. So also that teaches me that before every teruah there's a tekiah. But how do I know that after every teruah there's a tekiah as well? Talmud Lomar, teruah yisku. Because the pasuk says, literally, teruah yisku, that you a teruah shall be tekiyad. So again, normally we translate that as a teruah will be blown. Now we understand that in fact, every single time it says yisku is actually a reference to the actual call of tekiyah. Therefore, again, utekatem teruah teaches me that there's always a tekiyah before the teruah. Teruah yisku teaches me that what? There's always a tekiyah after the teruah. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, says, "Eino tzarech." The truth is, all of this is unnecessary. Harehu Omer utikatem trua shenis. The pasuk says that you shall go ahead utikatem trua shenis. You shall blow. Now, again, how we translate this is a little bit tricky. So, even utikatem trua shenis, you'll blow a trua second time. She'in tamud lomar shenis. The pasuk doesn't have to say shenis. Doesn't have to say a second time because it's obviously contextually that it's talking about a second set of blasts. Uma tamud lomar shenis. Why does it say the word shenis? Ze bona av. Rabbos say bona av means the creation of a biblical paradigm. So that's called the binyan av. Binyan av means you create a biblical paradigm, and the biblical paradigm creates the model for everything else. So what's the binyan av? Shekol makom she'ne'emar trua. It teaches us that what Rabbi Shmuel says, very interesting. Rabbi Shmuel is saying, Utekatem trua shenis is a binyan av to teach me what? That wherever a trua is blown, there must what? There must be tekiyah shenis. There must be a second tekiyah that is blown after that trua as well. So b'makom, shekol makom shenemar trua, wherever the Torah says trua, tehei tekiyah shniya la. There is not only a first tekiyah, but there has to be a second tekiyah that follows it as well. So the Gemara says, "In the b'midbar." So now the Gemara says, everything you've told me until now only applies in the desert. However, Rosh Hashanah minayin, how do I know that this is true on Rosh Hashanah as well? Talmud Lomar, teruah, teruah legzira shava. Therefore, says the Gemara, we can make a gzirah shava of trua trua from the midbar to Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, v'shalosh truas ne'emru b'Rosh Hashanah. And so as I say now, remember, according to this Tana, we're now not learning out the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah from Yovel, but rather we're learning out the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, from the midbar. And again, we've essentially established our most basic limud, which is again, we know again we've got trua. We know we also have tekiyah before every trua and tekiyah after every trua. So the Gemara says furthermore, v'shalosh truos ne'emru b'Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says trua three times by Rosh Hashanah. Shabbason zichron trua, yom trua, v'ha'avarta shofar trua, u'shtei tekiyos l'chol achas v'achas. And Rabbos says, we already established on the midbar that what? Every time I have a trua, what else do I have? I have one tekiyah before it and one tekiyah after it. Therefore, lemeidin shalosh truos v'sheish tekiyos. And therefore, what? Lemaisa, I learn out that we have three truos from Rosh Hashanah. I remember it says trua three times Rosh Hashanah. And I learn out from the gzirah shava to the midbar that what? Every single trua has a tekiyah before it and a tekiyah after it. So I have a total of six tekiyos, three truos for an obligation of nine biblical sounds. So also, interestingly enough, all of the opinions so far are agreeing on the bottom line, which is that the biblical obligation for shofar on Rosh Hashanah is nine kolos. Three truos that are bookended by six tekiyos. The only shaila is where ultimately you're learning that out from. So the Gemara says the following.
The fact that this second man learns out from Sukkah has nothing to do with the fact he learns it out of Gzir Shofar.
No, this was his Mesorah. That he was learning out from Midbar as opposed to Yovel. So the Gemara says the following. Remember, again, they're not having a again, I want to be clear on this. This is not like a classic Machlokis. This is a Machlokis and Mesorah. They had two different traditions as to, again, the bottom line is the same, but they had two different traditions as to where this actually was learned out from. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says,
I'm sorry.
Interestingly enough, of the three truas that are mentioned by Rosh Hashanah, two of them create a biblical obligation, and one of them creates a rabbinic obligation. Now, what does this mean? So let's say if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says over here, let's go back a little bit. The Gemara says, what's the breakdown? Shabason zichron trua. Va'avarta shofar trami divrei Torah. So we'll say the psukim of Shabboson zichron trua. Literally, it'll be a day of Shabbos, a remembrance for the trua. Va'avarta shofar trua. You shall sound the shofar trua midivrei Torah. Those are the psukim that create a biblical obligation. Yom Teruah Yelochem l'Talmudo Huba. But I've also said the phrase Yom Teruah Yelochem, that comes to teach us. And I've also said, what does it mean comes to teach us? That pasuk is used to create the Gzeirah Shava of between Rosh Hashanah and Midbar. Remember, I've also said that when using a pasuk most times cannot be used for multiple purposes. So, for example, if you have a pasuk that's where the word that you're focusing on is being used for a Gzeirah Shava, that's what that pasuk is taken up for. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is something very important, which is that, yes, it says trua three times by Rosh Hashanah, and we were using that three times trua to teach us what? That you have an obligation to blow three truas, which are bookended each by tekilos for a total of nine sounds. The Gemara is not pointing out, I just want to point out to you that really two of those truas are biblical, one of those truas is rabbinic. Why? Because two of the psukim with trua can be used to teach you the obligation to blow the sound. One of those truas, however, is used for what? To create the Gzeirah Shava between Rosh Hashanah and Midbar. If that trua is being used to create a Gzeirah Shava, then what? It's not what's called Mufne. It's not open to be used. It's not available to be used for another limud. Now, we still use it. But you can't use it to generate a biblical obligation. What we can use it for is what? To go ahead and generate a rabbinic obligation. Va'avarta shofar trua midivrei Torah. Excuse me. Shtayim midivrei Torah. Va'avarta sefer. I'm sorry. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar. What's in the first wide line? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says, "I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Achos midivrei Torah. Ushtayim midivrei Torah." So what's Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani argues? He's saying, "Rabbi Yonasan. In fact, only one of them could generate the biblical obligation, and two of them are rabbinic. How so? Va'avarta shofar trua midivrei Torah." He holds that the pasuk of Avarta Shofar Shrua generates the biblical obligation. Shabboson Zichron Shrua V'yom Tura Yelochem L'Talmud Ahuba. So we'll say, but according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, he says that in fact the psukim of Shabboson Zichron Shrua and Yom Tura are both used for other teachings. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ale Talmud Ahuba." What do these other psukim teach? Again, Rabbi Shmuel, and again, once the pasuk is being used to teach me something else, it's not available to generate a biblical obligation. But the Rabbanon could still use it to generate a rabbinic obligation. So, what are these two psukim used for that they can't tell me about a biblical obligation for Teruah? I'll tell you what. So, first of all, when the pasuk says Yom Teruah, b'yom v'lo b'layla, Rabbi Shmuel, what does Yom Teruah teach us? That the mitzvah of shofar only applies when? Right. By day and not by night. V'idach. And Rabbi Shmuel, what about the other opinion? V'idach. V'yom b'lo b'layla minna l'inafka. Rabbi Shmuel, remember again, the first opinion quoted said that there are two truos that are available to generate biblical obligation for actual sound, and only one of them was needed to create the Gzeirah Shava. Where does he learn out the obligation that shofar can only be sounded by day and not by night? Minnali. Nafgalei mi b'yom ha-kippurim. He learns it out from where? From Yom Kippur. I will say, in other words, what he's learning it out from is, since there's a connection between shofar and what? And Yovel. So just like we know the shofar of Yom Kippur of Yovel can only be sounded by day, so too the shofar of Rosh Hashanah can also only be sounded by day. So the Gemara says, E b'yom ha-kippurim yalif nigmor nami minei lepshuta lefanel. To which the Gemara says, but if that's the case, this is the Tana who was learning out the obligations of shofar of Rosh Hashanah from where? From the Midbar. So now what you're telling me is like this. You're telling me that the reason you could go ahead and use two of the truas to create an obligation for biblical sound is because you're learning out the obligation that shofar has to be taken by day from the shofar of Yovel, of Yom Kippur of Yovel. So if you're already learning out the obligation of shofar by day from Yom Kippur of Yovel, then what? Why don't you learn out the obligation of the sounds from Yovel? Why are you learning it out from Midbar? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because they're both saying, interestingly enough, in order to learn it out from Yovel, Yovel doesn't employ the same exact word as Rosh Hashanah. Meaning that in one place it says, v'ha'avarta, and the other place it says, ta'aviru. So that kind of holds that he would rather make a gzera shava from exact words and not from similar words. So the words by Rosh Hashanah and Midbar are exactly the same. The words by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel are what? Are similar. Well, more than similar. They share the same shoresh, but they're not the same exact words. Therefore, he'd rather make a gzera shava from exact words. Okay. Elamai dar shibuhu. Hey, but what is so? What do we darshan with it? So what is the phrase v'havarta darshan for? Like Rav Masna, Dom Rav Masna, v'havarta. What do we learn from the word v'havarta? Derech ha'avaroso ta'aviru. De'kam rachmana na'avrei biyad. So let's listen to this. I would have thought that the word v'havarta means what? So we'll say literally, look at Rashi. Rashi is derech havaroso. Now Rashi is both columns on this page. This is the left side of Rashi, about 15 lines up from the bottom. Derech havaroso, limiute hafcho v'takabo. So we'll say, remember we had this Rav Masna before. Rav Masna says that the shofar must be taken the way ultimately, again, it grows on the animal. Meaning, we'll say that you have to go ahead and blow on the narrow side and allow this sound to come out on the wider side. Even though, technically speaking, through heat, you could refashion the shofar, that's not what's supposed to be done. So the Gemara says, "Dikam rachmana na'avrei biyad."
Havarasa, I think, is a separate.
I'm sorry?
That there are havarasa and taviro is a separate.
Taviru separately. Correct. Damra Masna Vavarta Vavarta Derech Havaros. I'm sorry, correct. Derech Havaroso. There are Masna Darshans that Vavarta from the Vasik Vavarta, we learn that what? Derech Havaroso, that you have to go in and you have to take the shofar in the way in which it's normally in which it grows on the animal. Ta'aviru, thank you. Ta'aviru to Kamarachmar. When the Torah says ta'aviru, what does that come to teach me? Na'avrei biyad. And I will say, it's actually very interesting. So if you look at Rashi, na'avrei biyad, Rashi says, vi'ilav dohadar kasvei lo hava mishtama ta'aviru loshon tikiya. I will say, now what's interesting is the following. Remember, what the Gemara is focusing on over here, is how to dash in this pasuk. So what the Gemara is saying is, from the phrase v'ha'avarta, ha'avarta teaches me that shofar must be blown, what we call derech ha'avaroso, in the way in which it's carried on the animal. Ta'aviru, what does ta'aviru teach me? So the Gemara says, t'kam rachmana na'avrei biyad, that what the havamina of the Gemara over here is, that on the Yovel year, you have to go ahead and take it throughout the land, carrying it in your hand, to carry the shofar throughout the land. Rashi says over here, again, na'amrei biyad, v'ilav dohadar kasvei lo hava mishtamet ta'aviru loshon tekiya. And you're both saying, had the Torah not gone ahead and gone out of its way to indicate to me that l'maisa, this is talking about the blowing of the shofar, I might have thought that literally this is teaching me that I have to carry the shofar throughout the land on the Yovel year. V'idach, and the other opinion, the Rav Masna, he learns out the concept of Rav Masna, midishani bidibure, from the fact that the Torah changes its lashon. Ta'aviru biyad lo matzis amrit, the gamra avra avra mimosha. So he points over here that it can't be that the Torah is obligating me to carry it with my hand. Why? Because he makes a gzir shava avra avra mimosha. Ksiv hacha va'avarta shofar trua. Uksiv hasam, it says over here that you shall go ahead va'avarta shofar trua. Uksiv hasam, it says over there, va'itzav Moshe, va'ya'aviru kol b'machane. Moshe commanded, and again, the Torah used Lashon of va'yaviru kol b'machane. Malahalan, kol, just like over there, havara means a sounding of a sound. Afkan b'kol, so too over here it means b'kol. So we'll say again what the other opinion says is, everybody's trying to learn out that ta'aviru, ta'aviru literally means that I would carry the shofar throughout the land on the Yovel year. So the Gemara now is saying is, the other man, the Amr, learns out that it can't mean that. Why? Because he makes a gzir shava to the midbar. Just like it says, Vaitzav Moshe, Vayaviru, Kalbamachana, Havara means the sounding of sound. So too, again, Haviru over here also means the sounding of the Kol Shofar and not literally going in and carrying it throughout the land. Ulahai Tana Demai Silam Midbar. And according to the Tana, learns the sound from the existence or from the Midbar. Ima lahalan chatzotros, afkan chatzotros, and now we're looping back. Remember again, now we essentially have two different shitos. One shita learning out all the obligations of Rosh Hashanah from Yovel. Other shita learning out all the obligations of Rosh Hashanah from the Midbar. But according to the one who learns out all the obligations from the Midbar, why don't you say that what were they sounding in the Midbar? They weren't actually sounding a shofar. What were they sounding? That's also trumpets. So why don't you say the obligation of Rosh Hashanah is also trumpets? Talmud Lomar. Because the pasuk says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chaginu. Now it's when the pasuk in Tehillim, you will go ahead and you will sound during the month the shofar b'kesel yom chaginu. Literally, on the b'kesel means hidden yom chaginu on the day of our yom tov. Ezu chag shachodesh miskasebo. What is the month in which the moon is hidden? Havi omer zeh Rosh Hashanah. I will tell you this is Rosh Hashanah. The Kamarachmana Shofar. And the Pasuk tells you that what is sounded? Shofar. So we'll say the truth is the Gemara says, you're right. The limud from the Midbar by itself is not enough. Instead, what else do I need? I also need the Pasuk and tell him to teach me what? Bakes liyam chaginu. That is that in the month in which the moon is hidden, i.e. Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is Tiku Bachodesh Shofar. The mitzvah is to blow the Shofar. Iskin Rabbi Avo. Sorry, I will say, based on all of this, Rabbi Avo instituted in Kesari the following way to blow the shofar. Tikiya, shlosha, shvarim, terua, tikiya. I will say, so what Rabbi Avo essentially instituted in Kesari was what? A tashrat, a tikiya. Three shvarim. Now, we'll say, see, for us, whenever we speak about a shvarim, for us, a shvarim is always comprised of a unit of three sounds. Here, the Gemara is just explicitly stating that. So here you have Rabbi Avo saying that how are you going to fulfill this of shofar? One tekiah, three shvarim, a teruah, and then a tekiah again. So the Gemara says, now, why did Rabbi Avo institute this? Marav Shach, I yilule yalil le'avit. So the Gemara says, actually, the Gemara is a kasha. Obviously, we're still stuck. There's one basic unit of ambiguity which we have in all of this, which is what? What is the definition of trua? This goes back, remember, to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where you had a fundamental machlokis as what is trua. So Rabbi says, I don't understand, Rabbi Avo, what are you doing? If you say that the definition of a trua is Yilulei Yal, is this sobbing, then what? Then Lamaisa La'avet Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah. Then just do a Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah. V'iginu Chegarach, and if you want to say that it's this type of moaning, La'avet Tekiyah, Shlosha Shvarim Tekiyah. Then blow a Tekiyah, Shvarim Tekiyah. What? Meaning, why are you doing both sounds? To which the Gemara says, Misafkele. The truth is, Rabbi Avo wasn't sure. I don't know what the sound of Trua is. I don't know if the sound of Trua is this type of longer moaning, or the sound of Truma is this type of shorter, repetitive sobbing. And therefore, what? What did Rabbi Avo do? Rabbi Avo said, let's do both. To which the Gemara says, Maskifler Ravira, the Dilma Yululeyolo, the Havikamafsik Shloshishvar Bain Trua Litkia. To which the Gemara said, but 1 second, here's the problem. Let's say in reality, the real definition of Trua is Yulule Yolil. At the end of the day, let's say it's the sobbing, what we call Trua. In which case, then I will say, what's happening over here? If you're blowing a tekiah, shvarim trua tekiah, what ends up happening? You have a hefsik between the trua and the first tekiah. To which the Gemara says, the hadr of it tekiah trua tekiah. I'm sorry, I just lost the place. That's right here. The dima yululei yalil, the kamafsik shlosha shvarim bein trua le tekiah. Maybe, really, all the trua is just what we call a plain trua. In which case, if you're inserting a shvarim in there, you're interrupting between the tekiah and the actual trua. To which the Gemara says, the hadr of the tekiah trua tekiah. It's okay because Rabbi Avao's model, you're not just blowing a tashrat, but you're also blowing what? A tekiah trua tekiah. Maskif la ravina. V'dilma ginuche iganach. Maybe the definition of trua is what Rabbi says, is a shvarim, what we call a moaning. And therefore, the kamafsik trua bein shvarim l'tekiah. And what ends up happening? You're actually creating an interruption between the tekiah and, the shvarim and what? And the last tekiah, to which the Gemara says, the hadir abit tashat, it's not a problem, bless you. because we're going to blow another tikiya shvarim tikiya again. So we'll say, so what's that? What the Gemara saying over here is, it sounds nice that you have this tashrat, and therefore you're getting all of the sounds together. There's only one problem. There's only one problem, which is what? If really what a trua is a shvarim, then the trua that you're blowing ultimately is interrupting between the shvarim and the antikiyah. If really the definition of trua is what we call a trua, then the problem is the shvarim is interrupting between the first tikiyah and the shvarim. Because also remember, what do we establish before? We established before is that you always need a tikiyah beforehand and a tikiyah afterwards. And a tikiyah before and after means what? Without interruption between the tikiyah before and the tikiyah after and the middle sound. When you're blowing a tashrat, you run the risk of what? Of creating an interruption either between the beginning of the tikiyah or the end of the tikiyah. To which the Gemara says, here's what happened. The Gemara says, Elu Rabbi Yavol Ma'iskin, Iginu Cheganachud Avdi, Iyilu Layalil Avdi, Ha'avdi, Emsafkile Dilma Ganach V'yalil. So we'll say, what did Rabbi Yavol do? And said to you what Rabbi Yavol did was, he said, I don't know what true is, and therefore we have to blow every variation. We have to blow a tashat, because maybe again the definition of trua is a shvarim. We have to blow a tarat, because maybe the definition of shvarim is a trua. And we have to blow a tashrat. Why? Because maybe it's actually some combination of the two. So again, El Rabbi Avo, my asking, what Rabbi Avo institute? I ginuchei ganach ha'avdi. If the definition of trua is ginuchei ganach, is this moaning, Rabbi Osai, what we call a shvarim, then he's blowing a tashat. And if the definition of a trua is what we call again a sabbing, like a trua, ha'avdi, he's doing it. Dilma ganach v'yolil. But again, his whole chap is what? His whole issue is that maybe the suffix is what? And maybe the suffix is, maybe you do both. Maybe ginuchei ganach and yulul yolil, which means what? That's why he also calls for a what? A shvarim and a trua together. Ihachi, if that's the case, le'avid nami ipcha. Rabbi say, if he's trying to figure out, he's trying to cover all variations, so do the opposite as well. Remember, what's the opposite? Why don't you blow a tekiya trua shvarim tekiya? Remember, you're blowing tekiya shvarim tekiya. You're blowing tekiya trua tekiya. You're blowing tekiya shvarim trua tekiya. Why don't you also blow a tekiya trua shvarim tekiya? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hayachi li'avid nami ipcha. Tekiya trua shlosha shvarim tekiya. Why don't you also blow the opposite? Do a tekiya trua, then a shvarim and a tekiya. Dilma yolil v'ganach, because maybe again you should be choshesh that what? Maybe you should be choshesh that the definition of trua is sobbing and then moaning. So Rabbi Avoh says, no, you know why? Stam de milsa, ki misra be'inish milsa b'resha ganach v'hadir yolil. To which Rabbi Avoh says, it's not the way people cry. In general, when people cry, people don't start with sobbing and then end up moaning, but rather what ends up happening? They end up with the longer moans first and then break into the repetitive sobbing afterwards. So since I also remember again, this all goes back to what? How does the Targum translate the word trua? It translates it as yivava, as a cry. Therefore, lemaisa, again, we know the trua has to mirror human crying. And therefore, Rabbi Avoh says, I'm not sure what type of crying it is. Is it moaning crying? Is it sobbing crying? But one thing I know, or maybe it's both, but if it's going to be both, it's going to be the moaning first and then the sobbing, because when the people cry, people don't first start sobbing and then end up moaning. Okay, weiter. Remember again the case of the Mishnah was, if I blew, I both said, the second tekiya long enough, I blew the second tekiya long enough, and I wanted to count as two sounds, so the Mishnah said that does not work. So the Gemara says, Amrav Yochanan Shama, Shama Teisha Tekios Patesha Shaos Bayom. Mm-hmm. So what happened? If a person heard nine sounds throughout 9 hours of the day, so Mamish, you clear your schedule for Rosh Hashanah. You are hearing one sound per hour throughout the entire day. The halach is Yatsa, you Yotze, Tainam Yachir Rice, that supports this. Shama, Shama Sheish Tekios Patesha Shaos. We'll say if a person heard nine sounds in 9 hours, so literally you're hearing one sound per hour. But if you heard about, say, nine sounds from nine people at once, then you're not Yotze. We'll say that. Remember, we saw that already before. Why? Because again, multiple sounds are not going to be heard at once. Furthermore, if you heard nine different sounds from nine different people discontinuously throughout the entire day. You yotze. Umiyama Rabbi Yochanan. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Fama Rabbi Yochanan Shem Hashem and Yotzadak. But yet Rabbi Yochanan said, Name Rabbi Shem Ben Yotzadak. But Halalu Ben Megillah. When it comes to Halal and Megillah, Im Shaha Kite Ligmar Eskula. Rabbi said, if you paused during Halal and Megillah and you paused with enough time to be able to say it in its entirety, Rabbi said, meaning this is just dead time. You just stopped. And you paused for long enough to be able to recite the entire Halal, the entire Megillah. What's the halacha? Chos l'rosh. You go back to the beginning. So what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Osai, when you pause, and you just have empty time, that if there's enough empty time in which to repeat the entire process, then what? Then l'maisi, you have to go back to the beginning. If that's the case, then what should Rabbi Yochanan hold by shofar if you pause? If you pause for enough time to be able to blow the entire 9 kolos, you should have to go back to the beginning. And yet, what did Rabbi Yochanan just say before? That even if you blow one sound an hour for 9 hours, you're yotzei. That's a kasha. Lo kasha. Hadidei hadrabei. It's not a kasha, I will say, but rather what? Rabbi Yochanan's own shita is that what? That lamaisa, even if you have significant amounts of time in between each blast, It does not undermine the mitzvah at hand, and you can even do one blast an hour for 9 hours. If you notice by the case of the Megillah and the Megillah and Halal, it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak. Rabbi Yochanan is stating this in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yehotzadak. He's quoting the name of his Rebbe. According to his Rebbe, the halacha is if you wait too much time, then what? The presence of just dead time undermines the continuity of the mitzvah, and you have to go back and start again.
He goes, you wouldn't have to go.
Correct, you wouldn't by Halal and by Megillah as well. That is correct. So the Gemara says, "I have a Har Rabbi Avo, have a Shakil ba'Azel b'Shed Rabbi Yochanan." I have a Tabosi. There's a case over here that Rabbi Avo was following behind Rabbi Yochanan, and what happened? Rabbi Yochanan va'avikari kriyashma. Rabbi Yochanan was reciting Shema. Kimat l'mavulos metunafos ishtik. When he came to certain alleyways that were dirty, he stopped saying Shema. Basar de Chalif Amrle Mahu Ligmar. So after he went ahead and Sanabo said they got past the dirty alleyways, and what happened? Now he asked him, "Can I finish Shema?" The case over here was Shema was being recited, but then there was an interruption. Why was there an interruption? Because they couldn't say Shema in a place that's dirty, and whether there was dirt there, more presumably there was an odor. So the shaila now is we paused. Now can I begin to recite Shema again? Can I finish up? So Amrle, Im Shahisa Kadeh Ligmar Eskula Choz L'Rosh. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avo, well, listen, if you stopped long enough to be able to recite the Shema in its entirety, then what? Then what? Then you have to go back and say it again. So Rabbi Avo say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? Now remember, this is Rabbi Avo asking Rabbi Yochanan what his personal position is. And what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, Lamaisa, if there was enough time that elapsed that you could have recited the Shema in its entirety, you must go back to the beginning. So you see, it's not just Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe's position, but it appears to be Rabbi Yochanan's personal position, to which the Gemara says, Hachi Kamerli, this is what it means to say to him, Lididi lo svirli. If you're asking me what my opinion is, I hold that even pausing for significant amount of time does not create a hefsik, and therefore you need not go back and repeat Shema. Lididach de svirlach, but I know, Rabbi Avo, what your position is. I hold that you hold more in conformance with my Rebbe, that again, dead time does create a hefsik. If that's the case, im shayisa kedei ligmaras kula choz al rosh. If so, I'm asking for you according to what you hold. According to what I hold, dead time does not create a hefsik. According to what you hold, where dead time does create a hefsik, if you paused for enough time to recite the Shema in its entirety, then what? Then indeed you have to go back. But if you did not pause enough time to recite the Shema in its entirety, you need not go back. Tan Rabbanan, Tekios ein ma'akvos zuazu, Brachos ein ma'akvos zuazu. So also listen to this. The Gemara says, literally, how to understand this? If you look at Rashi says over here, Tekios ubrachos da'almo kigon ta'anios ein ma'akvin zuazu im beirach velo taka. Now also the way Rashi understands this is that tekios and brachos are not ma'akev one another. Meaning also that halacha lemaisi, let's say on a fast day, or for that matter, again, even Rosh Hashanah, that if you could only do tekios, but you can't daven, or you could daven and you can't do tekios, one is not ma'akev the other. Meaning you still do the one that you can, even though you can't do the kazubos. I remember, again, we've seen already that the blowing of the shofar is very intertwined with tefillah. Tefillah is very intertwined with blowing the shofar. The havamina was that in order to be yotzei, you have to do both. Kamash Mala, no, they are not ma'akiv one another. Tikios ubrachos shorash shana, v'shiyom kipurim ma'akvos. So we'll say this is talking about, again, remember, this first statement of tikios in ma'akvos zuazu, brachos in ma'akvos zuazu, is talking about by a tainus, by a fast day. So by a fast day, again, you have blowing of the shofar, and you have tefilos, and you have davening. On a fast day, the tikios and the brachos, what they call brachos over here really means tefillah, are not ma'akev one another. Meaning, even if you can't do one, you should still do the other. However, again, tikios ubrachos shel Rosh Hashanah v'shiyom kippurim ma'akvos. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the tikios and the tefillah are ma'akev one another. Meaning, Abba say what the Gemara seems to be saying is what? Is that lemaisa, if you can't do one, you may not do the other. They are intertwined. My time, Amar Rabba, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God says the following, Amru l'fanai b'Rosh Hashanah Malchios, Zichronos and Shofaros. God says to us that on Rosh Hashanah, you have to recite Malchios, Zichronos and Shofaros. Why? Malchios, k'dei shetam l'chuni aleichem. Recite Malchios in order that you coronate me on you. Zichronos, the section of remembrance, in order that what? K'dei sheyavo l'fanai zichronechem, in order that you bring your memories before me. L'tova, for good, ubama, and how does all of this happen? B'shofar. So also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that l'maisa, shofar is the vehicle that ultimately activates Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and therefore what? Therefore, if you cannot blow the shofar, then there is no din of tefillah. Now, we'll say, obviously, we do not paskin this way. Lemaisa, we hold that, again, the brachos and the shofros and the tekios are not ma'akev one another, but nevertheless, the havamin of the Gemara is, since, again, Chazal said that the whole process of tefillah and Rosh Hashanah is really activated through the shofar, if you can't blow the shofar, then what? Then lemaisa, again, you wouldn't daven. Kamash we pass, this will come out later on in tomorrow's daf, that lemaisa, we don't pass in that way, and therefore tekios and brachos are not ma'akvos. Even if you could only do one, you do the one that you could do, even if you can't do the other. So we'll have to stop here for today. It's okay. We're not going to start any earlier tomorrow because lemaisa, as you can see, is just Amud Aleph tomorrow. So we'll pick up right here to do that in your session.
So, Rabosai, regarding the Siyam, hopefully everybody got the email and the red panel.